Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. To another episode of Fan Junkies Radio. We're finally back after 2 weeks of not recording an episode, and we apologize about that, and yes, we missed you terribly. I'm your host, Jonathan Ragus, alongside me as always, my co-host, Mike McShane. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Well, we're doing better now, huh?
Yeah.
It's been a trying couple of weeks, I got to tell you, particularly last week, and I know that there are still a lot of people out there that are still trying to deal with the aftermath of that enormous storm that came through here last Monday.
Yeah, it was definitely a tragic storm here in the East Coast with Hurricane Sandy hitting, mostly New York and New Jersey getting the brunt of it. The entire Jersey Shore, it'll just never be the same again, Mike.
I can't imagine.
Our heartfelt condolences and prayers out to the people of Staten Island, Rockaway in Queens, Old Howard Beach, and, of course, everybody in Seaside Heights, Lavalette, Ventnor Heights, just the whole Jersey Shore.
Yep.
It really was a mess, Mike.
Well, you and I both have friends and family and what have you up in northern Jersey.
Yep.
And we have a lot of people that we know up there. And, boy, the things that they're still dealing with at this point. It's almost mind-boggling. I mean, it really is. It's almost impossible to believe. That a week later, people are still without power. You can't get gasoline. It's just a horrible situation.
Well, not only that, especially now with this nor'easter coming down on us on Wednesday, and they're talking about, anywhere from 60-plus mile-per-hour winds and, rain and maybe even snow because it's getting so cold here on the East Coast.
Yeah.
This morning alone, it was almost 32 degrees here, so... I just feel terrible for these people. I was without power for about almost 7 days. You were without power for about 6 days.
Yep.
We felt terrible that we didn't have power and heat, but, just these people that don't even have a roof over their head and are sleeping on cots and gyms.
Yeah.
Across the whole eastern seaboard here, it's terrible. But, the good thing is that there are people thinking about them. There are people helping out. Two things I want to mention quick. Brecklin Daniel, a good friend of ours here at Fan Junkies Radio, and also the owner of WrestleChat.net. Him and his friend Jeanette Todd, they're doing a Facebook page, Operation # Restore Our Shore, trying to get goods and clothes and everything for these people on the Jersey Shore that need help. So get on Facebook. It's Operation # Restore Our Shore. Like it. Help the people out of New Jersey. And then also here at Fan Junkies, and then Mike, you and Sidekick and everybody over at the Frat House, Wrestle Chat, everybody over at Ranger Nation, we're doing an auction on eBay where we're asking athletes, current and former, broadcasters, celebrities, whoever can help out, whoever can get involved, to donate something autographed so we can auction it off with all the proceeds going to the American Red Cross and other charities that are helping everybody out in New York and New Jersey. It's great so far. We're getting a lot of stuff. Joel Gertner from UCW is donating something. Former New York Ranger and Tampa Bay Lightning and Stanley Cup winner Mike Hartman donated 20 copies of his books last night, all signed, that we're going to auction off, and we hope people start bidding on this stuff, and every little bit helps, Mike.
Yep, absolutely. And the donations will go where, Jonathan?
The donations are going to go to the American Red Cross. And, other things. So if you're interested in donating something, you can email me directly at jragus, that's J-R-A-G-U-S, at fanjunkies.net, and I will send you over the information on how to get involved.
There you go.
Great stuff. Great stuff. So, we're just calling everybody that listens in and, our readers and all the members of Fan Junkies and Ranger Nation and the readers of Frat House and Wrestle Chat, please just... just bid. It's really going for a good cause right now, and they really need your help.
Absolutely.
But listen, you know what? 2 weeks without Fan Junkies Radio, and it really felt like a part of my soul was missing, Mike. You know, I love doing this show, and I know you love doing it as well, Mike. And
you just missed our banter. That's what it was.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. It's becoming a part of life.
Absolutely.
You know, but, you know, we're back.
It's the best lunchtime hour I've ever had.
Absolutely, man. Me too. And you know what? I just ate right before, so it's tummy full of good food. And here we are talking sports now. It's Monday, November 5th, so we have a lot to talk about. We're going to switch it over right now and talk about football, Mike. Last night, Indianapolis Colts defeating the Miami Dolphins 23-20. The Colts are now 5-3 on the season, but the big story out of last night was Andrew Luck breaking the, basically the rookie record for passing yards with 433 yards on 30 of 48, two touchdowns, 105.6 quarterback rating. Mike, did you watch the game last night, and what did you think of Luck's performance?
Yeah, I saw parts of it. As you well know, Jonathan, we generally have, you know, three games going at once in here, and then we're constantly jumping around because we've got Red Zone and we got the Sunday football ticket and the whole bit. So we saw parts of that particular game. Andrew Luck is an interesting individual. I frankly didn't see this kind of performance coming.
Yeah.
I kind of had a reserved judgment on him up to this point.
Yes.
Not that I don't think he's the talent that that he's been kind of promoted to be, not at all. I just didn't see this kind of performance coming, and I didn't think he's going to be quite the phenom that everybody had promoted him to be in his first year. Let's put it that way.
Yes, yes.
So to me, I was a little bit astounded. I mean, you know, you hear after the fact that it's a passing record, or what was it, a yardage record for a rookie quarterback. Absolutely incredible. 30 of 48 he went. His average pass was 9 yards. So pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, he looked real good last night, and the fact that Reggie Wayne bailed him out a few times really helped as well. But, Mike, before we continue here, we have a caller calling in from the 610 area code, so let's get to that caller right now. 610, how's it going? Hello, 610, you're on the air. Oh, I guess they hung up, Mike.
Oh,
well. Okay. Call back in, 610.
Okay.
And we'll talk. But anyway, getting back to last night's game, you know, Luck looked good. You know, luckily for him, Donnie Avery, T.Y. Hilton, Reggie Wayne, they all had really good games. Dwayne Allen as well. You can't take away the fact that Dwayne Allen had a good game last night as well. What we talked about on the pre-show here before we went on air is that, you know, Reggie Wayne, he plucked a lot of bad passes out of the air last night. So, you know, there was a couple of receivers kind of bailing out Luck, but you can't take away the fact that last night was just an amazing performance, and he broke Cam Newton's record, and, you know, good for him.
Yeah, and when you take a look at the fact he was only sacked once, I mean, obviously there is a good offensive line in front of him.
Well, you know, considering that you look at the players that the Dolphins have in Cameron Wake, who's a really good linebacker and, you know, scary sack guy.
Yep.
Carlos Dansby and so many others, I was shocked that it was only one time last night.
Mm-hmm.
I really was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially like Cameron Wake only got one sack off last night on this Colts offensive line. But, you know, it goes to show you when you have an offensive line in front of you that's really protecting your quarterback, look what can happen.
Now, you know, we're talking about Indianapolis. For a moment, let's just switch it over and take a look at the other side of the ball. This was two rookie quarterbacks that we had going.
Because
you got Ryan Tannehill going as well.
And he had a good game.
Yeah, and he did. And I'm gonna put you on the hot seat there for a moment, Jonathan, because talk to me. I'm going to give you my opinion, and I'm going to ask you for yours. I, for one, have been impressed with the Dolphins this year. In fact, I picked the Dolphins to win the game yesterday. Obviously, I was incorrect, but that wouldn't be the first time. But the reason that I picked them, I'm impressed with two things. I'm impressed with Tannehill.
Yes.
I'm impressed with his poise. Again, you know, we're talking about another rookie quarterback. There had been talk that the Eagles were looking at him before the draft, and I was kind of dismissing it at that particular moment because many scouts had him you know, at best, a third-round pick. And yet, he looks like this same class. You know, he looks like the Luck-type class, like the RG3 type class.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I've been impressed with Tannehill. I've similarly been impressed with the Dolphins' defense. So that's what I'm saying. I'm going to put you on the hot spot. Give me your assessment of the Miami Dolphins.
Well, I've been actually really impressed with them. You know, Tannehill is a good quarterback. He's 24th in the league in passing yardage with 1,762. You know, only 5 touchdowns. He has more interceptions with 6. You know, if Tannehill was playing on a better team with better receivers,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think he could show a lot more. To me, all he has is Brian Hartline,
right,
who goes out there and plays his ass off every game. You know, I honestly believe that it's the Dolphins defense.
Yeah.
You know, I give a lot of props to the Dolphins defense on how they're playing. And, you know, even with their performance against my Jets, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, impressed, you know, and I didn't expect that, in the preseason.
I'd have to say they're probably one of the, they're one of the surprise teams, I think, in the NFL. From this standpoint, from the standpoint that I didn't expect to see the Dolphins kind of be as good as they are this soon.
Yes. No, it's the truth. You know, 4-4, they're at 500 right now. You know, points against only 149.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the least amount in the AFC East.
Right.
You know, Bills are giving up 248. Jets 200. Even the Patriots gave up 170.
Listen, that's with the exception of the Houston Texans, I was going to say that's second least in the entire AFC.
Well, in the AFC, but I'm talking AFC East. You know,
it's the least in the AFC,
actual conference.
Right.
Here. Yeah.
Right.
So you know what you got to give it to them. Really got to give it to them. You know, they're 2-1 home record, 2-3 on the road. You know, who knows? You know, the Patriots aren't the Patriots of old. Dolphins keep playing this way, you never know. I mean, they could even take first place in the AFC East, and I never thought I would say that.
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible. I still would put my money on the Patriots. But since we're looking at the entire league for a moment, any other? I mean, because you know, yesterday marked what? Yesterday marked the exact midpoint of the season.
Yes.
Being in week 9.
Yes.
What other surprises do you see in across the league, both AFC and NFC? Are there any other surprises that jump out to you?
You know, Colts. We already mentioned the Colts as a surprise. You know, Chargers being at 4-4, I thought they would be, you know, a lot less. I thought the Raiders would be a lot better than they are this season.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the Raiders are a disappointment so far. Chiefs definitely a disappointment at 1-7. You know, surprises, I really don't think there's many surprises. Atlanta Falcons 8-0, I think, is a very big surprise.
Okay, why are you surprised by that one?
You know, 8-0, it's the Falcons. I mean, you know what? I said before the season started, Mike, and you're my witness, I said the Falcons are going to be good this year. But I never, ever, ever thought that they would be 8-0 right now. I mean, they are pulling wins out of their helmets right now.
Yeah.
You know, games that they shouldn't be winning, like last night, they end up winning.
Part of the, you know, hey, if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, call in. I want to get your read on it. But part of the reasoning that's been given on it has been that they've played a fairly soft schedule.
Well, listen, they say that about so many other teams, but I've seen teams that weren't good go out and defeat great teams.
Mm-hmm.
To me, there's no such thing as a soft schedule because it's the game of football. Depending on which way the football is going, anything can happen. I've seen great teams have 6 turnovers in a game and lose to a team that hasn't even won a game yet. You know,
yeah, right.
I've seen it happen. So to me, that's garbage with the whole soft schedule thing. Every week is a different week.
Mm-hmm.
And as you see the Falcons, soft schedule or not, they're not winning these games by a ton of points. You know, there's been a couple where they've won really big, but last night being, a point that I'm trying to prove right now, you know, the Dallas Cowboys let that game go.
Yes, they
did.
You
know, the Dallas Cowboys beat themselves last night.
Yes, they did. But the Dallas Cowboys have been good at that recently.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys have been good with that since about 1998, so, you know. But
the Minnesota Vikings at 5-4, is that a surprise?
Yeah. You know, I think their hot start in the beginning of the season was pretty big for them. Christian Ponder getting off to a good start. but, you know, they're back to where we thought they would be.
Mm-hmm. Arizona Cardinals go 4-0 and now have gone 0-5.
I'm kind of shocked with that because when they went 4-0, they looked like such a just a different team, and they were beating good teams, so they weren't playing bad teams.
Is this a quarterback issue?
Yeah, I think so, because you know what? If you look at the Cardinals roster, you know what? It's a quarterback and running back issue. I think the team as a whole is phenomenal. Unfortunately, they need a consistent, healthy Kevin Cobb.
Yes.
And they need a damn running back. Mm-hmm. They don't have a running back. They haven't had one in years. Hey, you know what? Bring Adrian Morrell back out of retirement and put him in Arizona. You know, seriously, because he would be better than what they have had in the past. So, you know, it's to me, I'm shocked that they're 4-5 right now. But then again, I'm shocked that they're 4-5. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I had been saying all along that the whole 4-0 thing was a mirage anyhow, and I was just kind of waiting for them to come back to reality.
You're just saying that because Kevin Cobb is a quarterback.
What, you think I'm biased?
That's Philadelphia hatred.
No bias. Never any bias from a Philadelphia fan.
Never.
No, you won't find that. Chicago Bears, there's one of my favorites, 7-1. Wow.
Yeah, listen, you know what? 120 points against. That's just phenomenal. Their defense is what's winning these games for them.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, Matt Forte, you know, Brandon Marshall finally had a good game for the Bears.
Oh, don't I know it. They beat me in my fantasy team.
Yes, and I have him on my team in one of my leagues. And I, actually, believe it or not, I think I had him benched, unfortunately. So I have to check that later on. But, you know, defense, you know, defense wins games. And if you look at the Jets teams in Mark Sanchez's first two seasons, that was when their defense was at its best. And look what they did. You know, when a defense is playing good, it opens up holes for the offense.
Right.
And the Bears being 7-1, you got to give that straight to the Bears defense. Phenomenal job they're doing this season.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with them. And like I said, they're actually, you know, aside from the Eagles, they're probably then my second favorite NFC team.
Yeah.
Detroit Lions at 4-4, I would say that's kind of a bit of a surprise. I don't think too many people expected the Detroit Lions, who looked so darn good last season, to be a 500 team at the midpoint.
I wouldn't say I'm surprised, but I'm definitely shocked. And the 4-4 record, no blame to put on it, but Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has not been good. And, you know, it's like Calvin Johnson. I mean, he's going to finish off the season with about 2,000 receiving yards and one touchdown.
Right.
Like, why are they not going to see, you know, to Megatron in the end zone?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? You know, it's stupid.
Well,
it's absolutely no sense. You got good receivers, and yet you keep running the ball trying to get into the end zone when Megatron, with another 100-plus yard performance, did he even have a touchdown yesterday?
Yeah, I don't have the numbers up in front of me, but I was just going to say, you know, I haven't seen all 8 of the Detroit Lions games.
But my question would be, is
the situation where he's being double covered? I mean, we saw a lot of this. We saw a lot of this yesterday in one of the games we're going to be talking about right now. Actually, I guess we might as well jump in here right now and go over to that Steelers Giants game.
You know what? Before you get into that,
yeah.
Double coverage on Megatron, still 7 receptions, 129 yards, averaged 18.4 yards yesterday.
Well,
so why weren't any of those catches anywhere in the red or in the end zone?
Yeah. I
don't like it.
You know, we saw, in my opinion, one of the biggest threats that the Giants have got is Victor Cruz. 5 receptions yesterday, that was it. Nowhere near the red zone. Why? Hey, it's because Pittsburgh had him double covered.
Yeah. Well, you know, they did a phenomenal job defensively last night.
Yes.
You know, Eli Manning was just awful last night.
Yeah.
You know, same goes for the Giants running game. So, you know what? I mean, they still scored 20 points, but you know what? Isaac Redman, that's all you could say. 26 rushes last night, 147 yards and one touchdown. Yep. He was just carving up the Giants' defense like it was already Thanksgiving and his turkey was on the table.
Who'd have thunk it against the Giants' defense? I was shocked by how easily Redman was moving around.
Well,
a lot of it, Jonathan, was right up the middle.
What peeves me is that I had the chance to pick up Isaac Redman. Instead, I went with Andre Brown. And, yeah, you know, snake bitten yet again. You know, world of mediocre, you know, mediocrity over here on Fan Junkies Radio is just, you know, it's killing us. But
hindsight's 20/20, dude. Hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But then again, you have to look at the Giants wide receivers, you know, with injuries. You know, Victor Cruz was targeted 11 times. Martellus Bennett, tight end, 4 times. Hakeem Nicks, 4 times. With only one reception, Henry Hanoski, 1 target, 1 reception. You know, they just weren't spreading the ball at all yesterday.
Yeah. Now, some of the, you know, we're taking a look at Eli Manning's numbers, and that's fine, 10 for 24. Yeah, it wasn't a very good day, 41.1 QB rating.
No.
The fact of the matter is, and I watched this whole game, the fact of the matter is, not all of that can be put squarely at the feet, obviously, of Eli Manning.
Oh.
A lot of his receivers just flat out dropped the ball.
Yeah. Well, you know what? For Giants fans, I feel your pain because everybody knocks Mark Sanchez, but hey, guess what? All his receivers dropped the ball as well, so you got a little taste of what's going on in Jets land.
Well, Brother Peyton's had that same situation occurring over in the Denver game yesterday as well.
Yes.
There were so many passes that Peyton put out there to some of his receivers there in Denver, and they just flat out dropped them. So,
you know, it's why? You know what I mean? Like, you got good receivers, and, you know, I don't care what anybody says. Eric Decker, you know what? He's turned out to be one of the best receivers in the game.
He was pretty consistent yesterday.
Yes.
I mean, I there weren't too many that I saw going to him that he didn't get his hands on. So
no, he's just, listen, man, he's got hands of glue, that guy.
Yep.
It amazes me what Eric Decker can do. You know what? When they got Peyton Manning, I told you right away, Mike. I said, man, you know what? What I saw these receivers do with Tebow last season, I was excited when they got Manning. I said, you know what? Boom. Let me pick up Eric Decker, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pick up Willis McGahee, which I did, because you know it's going to open up holes for him.
Yep.
And he's been pretty good this season.
Both of the, if I'm not mistaken, I think both of Peyton Manning's interceptions yesterday were going to Decker. I think he only had 2 interceptions yesterday. Both of them going to Decker. Both cases, Decker was double covered.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Listen, he was targeted 11 times, 8 receptions. Demaryius Thomas, 8 times, you know, targeted. You know, but then again, you know what? You're throwing to McGahee. You're throwing to Ronnie Hillman, Lance Bull, Jacob Tamme, Joel Dreesen. You know, the way Peyton does it, he spreads the ball out across the field.
He sure does.
He always has that one guy who's his favorite. Same thing in Indianapolis. It was Marvin Harrison. It went to Reggie Wayne. Now it's Eric Decker.
Well, or Stokely.
Hopefully so.
He was going to Stokely a lot yesterday.
Yeah, 4 times he targeted him. Stokely, only 3 receptions. So,
right.
You know what? He does, I mean, you know, Stokely's coming from Indianapolis. He knows it well. Same thing as Jacob Tamme. So, what the hell? You know, but still, phenomenal game from Peyton. You know, does interceptions happen? But it is what it is. But then again, it's the Bengals, so.
Yeah.
You know what?
They played them awful tough. That defense for the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday looked very good.
You know what, man? This is a different Cincinnati Bengals team. I really like what they're doing. I like the players they have. I'm a big fan of Jermaine Gresham and A.J. Green. I think these guys are awesome. Andrew Hawkins, I think, is such an awesome playmaker. But unfortunately, targeted 7 times, but always on short slants, only 32 yards for him. I think if they use him, just a few more yards out, I think they can get a little more leeway with their offense.
Yeah, I had Gresham on my bench yesterday. So.
Well,
Gresham on my bench and the running back, is it Rodgers?
Who, for the Bengals?
Bengals, yeah.
Oh, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, 1 touchdown again for him. And I keep benching him because every time I have him in, he doesn't do anything.
He had a pretty good game yesterday.
Yeah, he did. But you know what? Let's start the phone number. If you want to call in and talk to us, 347-237-5373. You want to talk about anything?
Football,
basketball. Nobody's talking about hockey. Nobody likes baseball. So we'll just talk about football and basketball today. you know what? Let's go over to the a shocker last night in our eyes here at Fan Junkies Radio. Cam Newton actually led the Panthers to a win finally.
Yeah.
You know, Panthers are now 2-6. It was a 21-13 win over RG3 and the Redskins. RG3, it's, you know what, man, I feel bad for this guy. I really do. You know, he's such a phenomenal quarterback. He has such a good arm. As you saw yesterday, you know, Joshua Morgan, he targeted 12 times, only 6 receptions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Yesterday's loss, I do not put on the back or the shoulders of RG3.
Mm-hmm.
I put it on, as usual, the Redskins receivers. They got to help this guy out.
I made the comment last week. I'm trying to remember where. Might have been over on Frat House Sports. I made the comment last week that I still believe that Washington right now is a season, maybe two, away from being real serious contenders.
Yeah.
There is no doubt in my mind, Robert Griffin III, and I said this back when the draft was going on, I said that RG3 was going to be the best of that class coming out. And I still think that even right now, despite the fact we've seen really good performances from Andrew Luck recently. I know that the hype has been Andrew Luck, Andrew Luck, Andrew Luck, but I'm telling you, RG3, there is something natural about this guy.
Yeah.
He's got a poise and a composure that is uncanny for somebody his age and for somebody his experience. What the Redskins need to do, and RG3 is a good place to start, they need to build that team around him, and I think that that's what their intention will be. Obviously, they don't have all of the things that RG3 needs right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I foresee that in the very near future, this coming offseason and probably the following offseason, you're going to see that Redskins team begin to build around RG3.
Yeah, it has to. I mean, you know what? He is the heart, soul, and face of this franchise now.
Yes.
It has to. They have to get other people in there other than Leonard Hankinson, Logan Paulson, Santana Moss is just, he's done.
Yeah.
He shows flashes of being the Santana Moss of old, but, you know, with no tight end, you know, no Fred Davis for him to look at either. I mean, you know, Niles Poole, Desmond Briscoe, Aldrick Robinson. I mean, Mike, stop me if you heard of any of these guys before. You know, I mean, we know Joshua Morgan, we know Brandon Banks, we know Alfred Morris because he's a pretty good running back and he's, you know, doing good. But like I said, Aldrick Robinson, Desmond Briscoe, Niles Poole, Evan Royster, Leonard Hankerson, Logan Paulson. Who?
Yeah.
Seriously. Well,
see,
it's like being an owl today. Who?
Yeah, you're making my case. And that's why I contend that, you know, do not look for, and I, you know, as much as Redskins fans, and hey, call in Redskins fans, but as much as Redskins fans might like to think that they've got themselves a shining star here this year, you know, like they did with the Nationals, no, not this year. It's not going to happen this year.
No.
But maybe next year, maybe the year after, if you start to build around this guy. Here's the other thing that I would say about RG3, and I know that this is one of his talents and one of his charms, I suppose, being a young quarterback. He has got to stop being the number one and number two or number two rusher on that team.
Yes.
If you keep doing that, RG3, you are going to have a very, very short career.
Well, did you see that hit he took yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, man. He was in the air spinning. Man, I thought, you know what? I thought the way his legs spun out, I thought he was done.
Yeah. See, so.
But listen, he's a tough kid, man.
I think that, you know. I think the emphasis for the Redskins in the offseason is going to have to be the offense. They got to address it. I don't think that they have a horrible defense. I think their defense actually is probably very, very serviceable.
Yeah.
But I think they really got to address
– it could get better, the defense.
Yes, of course they could.
They have some good players in London Fletcher and D'Angelo, but then again, these guys are aging.
Yes, but I think that the immediate attention has to be placed – as you pointed out, to the receiving corps,
absolutely.
And you need more than Morris back there in the backfield.
Absolutely. Listen, Redskins general manager Bruce Allen, Dan Snyder owner, Mike Shanahan, if you're listening to us, it's pretty cool that you are listening to us. If you are, believe it or not, but if you are listening to us, go out there, get this guy some receivers because he is going to lead your team to a bunch of wins.
Yep.
And hopefully one day, you know what? A Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because he's got the goods.
And that, you know, with all due respect, I'm going to do a little self-promotion here for a moment. I think that's what makes our program so good here, Jonathan.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you and I both come with our own particular sentiments. I mean, you're your Jets fan, I've got my Eagles and what have you. But you know something? We can take a look at a team and recognize its talents and make recommendations, like a team like Washington or a team like Indianapolis or whatever, and say, you know, hey, this is going to be a good team in the future. We're not going to sit here and just promote our own teams. You know, we're sitting here and saying, hey, Washington, you've got a good core possibility here, but this is what you're going to need to do.
Listen, you know what? As I always tell people, we are fans of all of the games.
Absolutely.
We have our favorite teams, and we may hate certain teams, but that doesn't take away from being a fan of these of the sport itself and being able to recognize when a team is great,
right,
when a team is terrible, when a player is great, and when a player is terrible. That's what makes somebody a sports fan.
Right.
When you're just into a team and all you could do is bash, 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 and not offer an honest opinion or even a good fact, that makes you a team fan. It doesn't make you a sports fan.
Yeah, you're a booster at that point.
Exactly. You're a bandwagon fan, most likely. And I hate bandwagon fans, and I have no problem calling you out, which is most Yankee fans. You know, most Patriot fans. And now Brooklyn Nets fans, because seriously, where were you when they were in New Jersey?
That's for another
conversation, Mike.
Get those Patriots fans to call in. Just real quick, going back to it, I will say I did pick Carolina to win that game yesterday. Washington was favored by 3, but I did pick Carolina. And the reason I did, real quick, and then we can move on to other things. The reason I did was because I kind of felt that the pressure was on Cam Newton to have a game. Because, I mean, there's been so much talk about the sophomore slump with regard to Newton.
Yeah, it was. And you know what? It's happening. You know. Yep. But then again, I got to say, I'm not liking his personality this year. He can't handle it. He can't. You know what? You can see it in his face. You can see it in his conference, you know, in his interviews. He can't handle losing. And how is that going to happen in Carolina? Because they're not a good team.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of like the old lie, you know, hey, there's no crying in baseball.
No crying in baseball?
You know, he really has come off a bit wimpish, you know. I think he needs to get a visit from Marlon Brando as the Godfather, you know.
Yeah, well, he needs to get a visit from somebody. But
you know, tell him that, hey, you're a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, seriously, because, what was it?
The team by example.
What was it last week? What was it last week where he's in the locker room after he's got his head down? He's all dejected. He's sounding like some wimpy crying, you know. It's like.
He is. Pick it up, man. You lost. Now focus on next week.
Yeah, suck it up, and do a better job.
Stop sulking like a baby. You know what? It's stuff like that that is going to make you look at Cam Newton in the future when he's still losing on the Panthers, and it's going to make you wish that he was out of the league like so many other guys like Jamarcus Russell and others.
You got it.
All right, listen, well, before we switch off football, I just want to let everybody know we had to postpone Week 9, unfortunately, of Beat the Shark due to Hurricane Sandy. You know, Week 10 is going to be back. We're looking forward to it. I know Jeff Parrini, the Shark, is looking forward to it. He really missed, whooping some LFL booty in our Beat the Shark contest. And I know the girls missed beating some shark booty, it'll be back. And also I want to send a special thanks to Kim Anderson and members of the Chicago Bliss of the Lingerie Football League for donating an autographed football by the team for our Hurricane Sandy relief auction. It'll be up hopefully next week. You can bid on that and own a nice piece of Lingerie Football League memorabilia. Mm-hmm. And I have the football right here, Mike. You know what? It's great. You know, these girls are just phenomenal. And
How many signed it, Jonathan?
I think, unfortunately, because it's the offseason, I think about 9 players signed it.
Oh, there you go. That's pretty good.
Some really good players. Kim Anderson is the one that set it up with me.
Right.
You know, awesome girl. She's really phenomenal with everything she does for us here at Fan Junkies Radio and Fan Junkies Decide itself. Other people that signed it was Brianna Schultz and Heather Furr. Also, both of them are part of the Beat the Shark.
Mm-hmm.
Laura Sticks Peterson, who's cool as hell. Chantel Taylor, Michelle Edwards, Margie DeSilvestro, Virgin A. Leal and Deanna Faggiano, they all signed the football. It'll be up for auction, and you know what? Bid on it. Put it in your display case at home, because the LFL is getting huge, and one day football is going to be worth something.
There you go.
Actually, you know, it's worth something right now because these girls are awesome. All right, Mike, switch over to basketball. Sorry for my cough, everybody. I'm still a little under the weather. Unbelievable. It's not going away. It's that time of the season. Let's talk basketball, Mike.
You got it.
I'm actually happy. Why? You know, hockey's out, which sucks, but greed will be greed, and they can go screw themselves right now. So I got basketball. I'm devoting some time to basketball, which I haven't been able to do in the last few years, only because the Knicks don't aren't on TV too much here. But I decided to watch as many basketball games as possible. Last night, Lakers finally got a win over the horrible Detroit Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it really isn't a huge win there because it's a terrible Detroit Pistons team who has absolutely nobody.
Yeah.
108-79. Kobe Bryant, only 15 points. Dwight Howard, 28 points. Couldn't get to the double digits in rebounds, which is, you know, quite odd against this kind of a Detroit Pistons team.
Right.
Bench wasn't that good. You know, but 1-3, Steve Nash is already injured, Mike. And,
right.
You know, he's not looking good in this Princeton offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's starting to show that he can't really play in this offense, Mike. You know, and you know they're banking on Steve Nash to help win them another championship.
Right.
A phenomenal power forward, point guard. So now they got Steve Blaken. Who else is coming off the bench? Chris Duhon is their backup now with Steve Nash out. You know, 1-3, Mike. And you know what? I know it's early on in the season.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
you're really not paying attention too much to basketball, but you've seen the Lakers roster.
Yeah.
You know, just from your mind alone by looking at the roster, are they going to turn around and be a dominant team this year?
You know, well, you and I were talking about this a little bit pre-show, and you're absolutely right. First of all, from my perspective, I generally start jumping in with the NBA, I guess, around Christmas time thereabouts, and I think that's generally what the average fan does as well. It's a long, long season. It's 82 games. It's a long season.
Yeah.
We're looking at, the Lakers record right now. Did you say 1-3?
Right.
All right. So they've played four games. Look, there's another 78 games left. Do I have any doubt in my mind that the Lakers are going to be leading the West when all is done? No, absolutely none. There's no doubt in my mind. So I would say at this particular moment right now, it's early in the season, and I don't think there's really anything to be made of it.
No. Well, then again, all right, so let's look at the Pacific right now.
Sure.
Golden State, good team,
mm-hmm.
led by a really good coach in Mark Jackson, who I think is going to end up winning Coach of the Year this year. I'm actually throwing it out there. I'm going to put myself on the line there.
Yep.
I think he is a phenomenal basketball mind. He's going to do good things with Golden State.
Yes.
L.A. Clippers, phenomenal team.
Exactly.
Lamar Odom, you know, Chris Paul there.
The Clippers are going to be in the mix. Make no mistake about that. The Clippers are going to be there.
It's the Clippers and Golden State are going to be the teams that the Lakers are going to have to compete against. Phoenix really has nobody. I don't think they're going to go anywhere. Sacramento I like, but they're still a team growing. They're 0-3.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, still a team that's growing, a lot of young players. Who knows? After the All-Star break, they can play spoiler,
mm-hmm.
you know, and beat some teams. an aging San Antonio Spurs in the Southwest, 3-0 already. And that's with aging players.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of teams, Portland as well, even the Minnesota Timberwolves, when Kevin Love comes back, when and if Ricky Rubio comes back. Oklahoma City, even though they got rid of James Harden.
Well, I think that's the big one right there. How much of an impact is that going to have on OKC?
It's going to have a big impact because you can already see it. Oklahoma City only, you know, it's early on, 1-2. But James Harden, first two games with Houston, 37 points and 45 points. Numbers he could not put up in Oklahoma City because of Russell Westbrook.
Right.
The Kevin Durant, because of Serge Ibaka, so many other players. So it spreads out. Now, in the Western Conference, of teams that are going to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers, an aging Steve Nash, a Dwight Howard who always wants the ball,
right?
Kobe Bryant who always wants the ball, a Ron Artest who to me is still a cancer for any team, an aging Paul Gasol, and a poor bench. There's a lot of teams that I think are going to be a lot better than the Lakers. Will they make it to the playoffs? I'm sure they will.
Well, okay, let's look at it.
Competing against these younger teams in the playoffs, it's going to come down to experience and injuries against these young players who are energetic, who are still running hard. It's going to be a long season.
Okay, but rather than looking at it from the standpoint of the conference, okay,
yes.
Forget the conference. Let's look at the division, just the Pacific division. All right. Yes, I understand what you're saying, and I'm in 100% agreement because I just said it, that I think the Clippers are a good team, and I think you can expect the Clippers are going to be are going to be there for most of the season.
Absolutely.
But as you just pointed out, with the exception of the Clippers, maybe Golden State, who wins the Pacific Division? I think you'd have to give the nod to the Lakers.
No, absolutely not. I'm actually going to give the nod to the Clippers. Only because they have a team that's been together. I like the young players. But now you have to look at the players that they added in the offseason, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Chauncey Billups is injured right now. He's going to come back. That adds leadership. That adds experience. And that also adds a playoff caliber player.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Hill, who's playing great at his age. He's injured right now. But when he comes back, that adds all of the three things that I just mentioned for Chauncey Billups. Lamar Odom is there, adds the three things as well. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin. They also added Jamal Crawford, Caron Butler. They have a lot of good names, and I'm going to tell you right now, I like this team, and I think that they're going to string together the wins in order to win the Pacific. I'm going out with it right now to say that.
You got to, as you just pointed out, though, talking about aging teams, that's a team right there with some age on it.
Well, you know what? If you look at Odom, you look at
Hill.
You look at Odom, Billups, and Hill are the only three guys you're gonna have to worry about.
Yeah.
You still have DeAndre Jordan. You still have Chris Paul. You still have Jamal Crawford, Butler, Eric Bledsoe, a defensive player, and Matt Barnes, and then Blake Griffin, who to me is just a phenomenal player. I think he gets it done on both sides of the court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want to see the whole Blake Griffin Dwight Howard matchup. I think that's gonna be phenomenal.
My assessment would be here's how it's going. Here's how I think mine has probably less to do with anything on the court.
Yeah.
I think the big thing that could keep the Lakers out of there would be egos and personalities. That's my biggest concern there.
Which you've seen already. So.
All right. Exactly. So, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the locker room, I think, in there.
Yeah.
To find out what exactly the chemistry of that particular team is like. When you start running down the roster of the Lakers, you got to think to yourself, wow, what a strange group of people to put together all in one room.
Well, you know what? If you look at the age factor as well, just with the Lakers itself, you know, Ron Artest is older.
Yep.
Steve Nash is up there. He's only got a couple of seasons left. Pau Gasol is not Pau Gasol of old.
Nope.
Kobe Bryant as well. Against a terrible, terrible Detroit Pistons team with nobody really guarding him last night, he only put up 15 points.
Yeah.
How in the hell Kobe Bryant didn't score 30-plus last night on this team is beyond me.
Right, okay.
It's going to be the egos, but it's also going to be the age factor, and it's going to be the injuries, because Nash is already injured. You know, Kobe Bryant he's achy. You can see it. You know, he's getting some pains and aches the last couple of seasons. He's pushing through it, but eventually something's going to happen where he's not going to be able to push through it.
Yeah.
You know, and then who are you going to bank on? And I'm not calling him by his new name because it's ridiculous. Who are you going to bank on? Ron Artest? You know, Darius Johnson Odom, Jody Meeks, Darius Morris, Robert Sacrick? Come on. You know? To me, I think that Golden State has a good shot because of their coaching and the youth that they have. Love Klay Thompson, David Lee, phenomenal player, miss him on the Knicks. Jarrett Jack, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the game. Love Stephen Curry. They got Andrew Bogut coming off the bench. Andres Bjelica is still there. He's going to turn it around. But I still think the Clippers are going to win the Pacific. I really do.
Well, there's no, like I said, there's no doubt. I think they're absolutely going to be there in the mix.
Yeah.
I don't think, and I'll go back to what I started out by saying, I just don't think that a 1-3 record this early in the season, I don't think that what you consider to be perhaps maybe a lackluster win over the Pistons in game four, I don't think that that is a barometer of anything at this particular moment. I think it's way too early in the season.
You know what? You're going to see it when they go up against Golden State, when they go up against the Clippers, the Spurs.
Then it's going to get interesting.
Yeah, the Bulls when D. Rose comes back, the Knicks, the Heat. Even the 76ers. And you know what? Let's switch it over to the Eastern Conference real quick.
Yep.
We have about 15 minutes left in the show.
Yep.
We were talking about this pre-show. Knicks and Sixers yesterday. Knicks won 100-84. You know, Bynum's injured, which is something that I spoke to you about many, many shows already. Mm-hmm. Something I said from the beginning, 76ers, the organization and the fans are going to have to worry about. His knees are not in good shape, and that's going to be something that's going to be a dagger into the team for the rest of the season. But I was impressed yesterday, Mike. I was real impressed with what I saw from the Sixers. Jrue Holiday, 40 minutes, 27.7 assists, mm-hmm. Six turnovers, whatever, but he was trying to do a lot by himself yesterday. Mm-hmm. 5-6 from three-point land. This is with a very good defensive point guard pairing in Raymond Felton, Jason Kidd and Pablo Prigioni guarding him.
Right.
I was very impressed. I was also very impressed with Thaddeus Young. Unfortunately, he fouled out because three of the calls that were on him were garbage. Nick Young I like. Unfortunately, inconsistent. I really like the rookie Malik Wayans. I think he's going to get a good shot here. Unfortunately, he was 0-5 yesterday, but I like his energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be something that the 76 is going to have to look at. Of course, Knicks won yesterday 100-84. Knicks are now 2-0. So let's talk about the Knicks here for a second. We're talking about age, people knocking them for age. But if you look at the players they brought in, it's players that never really had any kind of injury concerns. Jason Kidd, Kurt Thomas, Rasheed Wallace. You know what? Marcus Camby's the only guy that they brought in that usually has an injury concern. He's injured. He's still not playing. But you have to look at some of the other signings. Ronnie Brewer, phenomenal signing. Re-signing Steve Novak, huge. I love that they brought in Pablo Prigioni, 35-year-old point guard.
Yeah.
Looking damn good so far. You know, it gives them a balance. And now they're doing this without, you know, the young defensive shooting guard in Iman Shumpert, Marcus Camby, Amare Stoudemire. When these guys come back, you would think that, White, rookie Copeland, and then even Rasheed Wallace's minutes are going to decline a little bit. They're a really good team right now. I really think that they can push it, especially in Mike Woodson's defensive system. Phenomenal system. Carmelo Anthony looks like a totally different player, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You have to watch it. You have to watch the Knicks game today somehow. 7 o'clock tonight, they're playing the 76ers again, Mike. If you could flip on your TV, watch Carmelo Anthony. Not only is he playing great offense, another good game yesterday, 27 points. Mike, on the defensive side of the ball, I am impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Impressed, man. He looks phenomenal. He looks energized. He looks in shape. I mean, this is his team, and he knows it. You know, he's got the players and the coach around him that he desperately wanted, and he's so far in two games, it's showing. And I know it's still early on, Mike, but I'm really impressed.
You point out the age of the Knicks, and
yeah.
I think it's a valid concern. Let me ask you your perspective on this one, and that is, it seems to me that for your Knicks to be successful, and from what, you know, I'm just looking at the box score just from yesterday, you got a pretty strong bench there. It seems to me
very
that
strong
bench is going to come into play game after game after game, and is going to have to in order for the Knicks to be successful, particularly with the age of your team.
Yes, well, look, you got a young J.R. Smith, you got a young Steve Novak, Iman Shumpert's young, he's going to get, healthy, he's going to come back. Ronnie Brewer, Anthony, Felton, they're still young, you know, on that borderline of young and old, right?
Yeah, I mean, Smith comes off the bench and gets you 20 points.
Absolutely. Steve Novak's going to come off the bench and get you anywhere between 10 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Thomas is going to come off the bench, get you anywhere between 5 and 8 rebounds and maybe a block or two.
Mm-hmm.
Prigioni's going to come off the bench, give you assists, great ball handling. Rasheed Wallace is going to come off the bench the last 5 minutes to 4 or 3 minutes of the game
defensive stopper.
Yes.
This is something that the Knicks have never had.
Right.
Well, excuse me, they've had, but in the early 90s. This is something the Knicks haven't had in over 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
This is great stuff, Mike. And this is something that Knicks fans should really, really be excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed it in the first win against the Miami Heat. 20-point win, Mike.
Yep.
First game, don't care what it was, they shut down Miami. They shut down Dwayne Wade. They shut down Chris Bosh. They shut down the young bench of Miami, which was a really big part of Miami winning last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it.
Okay, well now, all right, let's go, hold on. Let's go take a look at the Atlantic Division for a moment. Okay? Because being a Philadelphia fan, and there's been a lot of brouhaha here in the Philadelphia region about the 76ers. There was a lot of excitement coming off of last year's season.
Yes.
There's been a lot of excitement really in the past two seasons since Doug Collins arrived. Interestingly, we make it to the playoffs last year. We go fairly deep with the 76ers into the playoffs. And what do the Sixers do? Well, they really completely changed their team.
Yeah.
Yet, nonetheless, the talk and the brouhaha in Philadelphia area has been, okay, we have a team that potentially could lead the Atlantic Division.
Yeah. All
right? Now, let's take a look at what you got. You're talking high on the Knicks.
Yes.
There's been a lot of talk about the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes.
And what kind of a team they potentially could be. You got Philadelphia in the mix. I think you can probably eliminate Toronto from discussion. But
yes.
Then you've got Boston as well. Where do you see this thing all shaken down in the end?
Honestly, the three top teams in the Eastern Conference of the Atlantic, it's going to be the Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, and the 76ers. You know, eliminate Toronto. Even though they're a young team, they could play spoiler towards the end of the season if they wanted to. You know, I see that happening. When you look at the Celtics, Paul Pierce still a good player. Kevin Garnett, aging, is not playing the way he used to play. You know what? I like them bringing in Jason Terry. I like them bringing in Courtney Lee. Other than that, I'm not impressed. Same thing with Toronto. I like what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn Nets, I like what they have. I don't like their bench. Great starting lineup, not a good bench.
Mm-hmm.
76ers, if Andrew Bynum can come back and be healthy,
well,
that's a big if right now.
And that's the question mark.
That's the question mark. I honestly believe it's going to come down to the Knicks and the Nets playing for first place, 76ers playing for second and third, Boston and Toronto playing for last.
Okay.
That's where I see it coming down to.
Now, you've given some shout-outs and you've given some praise to the Sixers, and I as a Sixers fan, I appreciate that. I liked your comments on Holiday. I made comments to you pre-show that I think Holiday now is in a good spot. I don't think he was last year.
No, absolutely
I don't think he
not.
Was before. I think there was way too much competition.
Well, Lou Williams hogging a ball,
exactly.
Taking a ball out of his hands.
Exactly.
So Iguodala always getting the final shot.
I personally have always been a Thad Young fan myself. Evan Turner, I think, probably will start to come into his own.
Evan Turner is a very smart guy. I think he's going to be one of those guys like a Shane Battier.
Yeah.
He's going to do first couple of years. But he's going to grow, and he's going to mature, and he's going to become a very, very good role player for our team. And hopefully it's for the 76ers.
Right. Now, I'm going to ask you to put your analysis, your analyst cap on for a moment. Can the Sixers run all season with what they've got, eliminate Bynum altogether?
Tough. I don't think so. Only from what I've seen yesterday against the Knicks, it's going to be a tough one, Mike. It really is going to be a tough one. I like what they have. Unfortunately, Jason Richardson, old, a lot of injury concerns there.
Yes.
Lavoy Allen, inconsistent.
Evan
Turner, inconsistent. Thaddeus Young, I like, but he plays rough. With the way refs are calling fouls now, he's going to be in a lot of foul trouble throughout the season.
Right.
Like Drew Holiday, you know what? Can some of these bench players step up? Darrell Wright, Nick Young, Spencer Hawes, the young Malik Wayans, Royal Ivy, Kwame Brown if you play some games. With what they have right now, I don't see it happening. I really don't.
Yeah. And
flashes of being really good, only because guys like Drew Holiday and Evan Turner, Thaddeus Young will step it up for game to game. but I just don't see it on a consistent basis.
And you and I were talking a little bit about this pre-show, and that is that really one of the strengths of the Philadelphia 76ers last season, and even the season before, but particularly last season, was their bench. And this year, it actually looks like it could be a bit of a weakness.
Yeah. And I hate to say it, the loss of Andre Iguodala. You know, there were a lot of games where he was a defensive stopper.
Yes.
He was put on their best player. There's nobody on this team right now that's a defensive stopper.
That's true.
Nobody. From Jrue Holiday right on down to Damian Wilkins, there's no one true defensive stopper on this team. And every team needs that. Mm-hmm. The Knicks have it. The Heat have it. The Bulls have it. Every team mostly has a defensive stopper. I don't see that on the 76ers. And like we always say, you need to play defense in the NBA to win these games. That's why the Knicks have been succeeding so far in the first two games. They're playing on both sides of the ball. They're playing Mike Whitson's half-court system and defensive system,
mm-hmm.
which is funny. Under Mike D'Antoni's offensive system, high-energy offensive system, they could barely crack 100 points a game.
Right.
Under Mike Whitson's defensive system, they're cracking 100 points a game. Why? Because points being led off of turnovers is huge in the National Basketball Association. I don't see that with Philadelphia, Mike.
Well, then it's obvious that the piece of the puzzle here has to be Bynum. And without a healthy Bynum, then you don't have a Sixers team that is competing for a second, perhaps maybe even a third place position in the Atlantic Division.
Well, put it this way. You got Bynum comes in, part the center. Thaddeus Young stays at power forward. Lavoy Allen slips to the bench. That's a big coming off the bench that you need.
Yes.
Now, when you have Lavoy Allen and maybe Spencer Hawes in a game, putting Spencer Hawes in the middle, Lavoy Allen on his wing, that's going to help him defensively.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's honestly, and which is what I told you earlier on in the season and before the season even started, Mike, everything that's going to happen is going to fall on Andrew Bynum's knees.
Yeah.
And when I asked you if you were worried and you said no, and I said, I think you should be. I think Philadelphia fans are starting to see it now that this guy is not a healthy guy with his knees.
Well, the diagnosis that we hear, it reminds us, those of us in Philadelphia, it reminds us a lot of the situation that Chase Utley is dealing with, where you're talking about bone on bone.
And let me tell you.
Well, how in the world can you be an athlete with a condition like that? Particularly, and you know, listen, you're talking about Chase Utley where he's standing at second base, or maybe he has to run the bases every once in a while. Then you go over and you start talking about a situation that's similar where you're running up and down a court. I can't imagine.
No, you can't. Listen, anything with the knees, bone on bone, that bad, they get arthritic very quick.
Yep.
It's hard to play. You can ask any athlete. Knee injuries and arthritic pain ended me being an athlete. You know, it takes away from your play.
Yep.
Chase Utley being an example. So many other people being an example. Grant Hill, but then Grant Hill had to reform his game and become what he is now, a defensive role player who can still make a shot from time to time, but it ain't the Grant Hill from the 90s.
No.
You know? But we'll see what happens, Mike. Like you said, 82 games, it's going to be a long, long season. But so far, I'm impressed what I see from the Knicks. I'm impressed what I see from the Sixers, from the Warriors, from the Bucks. Believe it or not, even the Magic without Dwight Howard. Very impressed with what I'm seeing so far with them.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens, Mike.
Sure.
So we only have a few seconds left in the show. Mike, man, I'm happy to be back.
Boy, was it good to get back on, you know, a Monday afternoon. Like I said, lunchtime chat. Get back on and talk some
Absolutely. We are going to line up some guests. Unfortunately, we're going to be a little hesitant with that only because of the storm coming Wednesday. If things hit the fan again, power gets lost. We don't want to have to cancel on on our guests because we canceled on a few already.
Yeah, just don't say it.
Absolutely. So anyway, as always, head over to Fan Junkies, www.fanjunkies.net. Head over to Frat House Sports, frathousesports.net, and just read, sign up, be a part of what we got going on here. It's always fun.
It is.
So for Mike McShane, I'm Jonathan Ragus, bearing another storm. We'll be back Wednesday, 12 p.m. Eastern time. And boy, we missed all of you, and we'll see you all Wednesday. Thank you again.
Got you covered then.